This is We Are What We Overcome. What you're about to hear are the ramblings and reflections of three ordinary people, drawing on their own personal and occasionally professional experiences. These conversations are unprepared, subjective, and should not be taken as medical advice or instruction. Anyone seeking help should always carry out their own research, or better yet, speak to a professional about their circumstances.
Can I have some more?
How's that come?
Is that supposed to be
again? I don't know. How's it coming through? Is it good? No. It swiftly becomes South African as well, which is no good.
Does it?
Welcome to
Seattle.
Yeah, because New Zealand's accent quickly becomes South Africa as all the vowels become even shorter and shorter, and suddenly you're talking about fucking prawns, and it's all very bad.
Someone once told me that one accent is playing a record forwards quickly, and the other one is playing it backwards.
Ooh.
No, but I can't do it justice what he said. So I shall get him to send me a recording.
Yes,
of it,
please
and
do. That sounds great.
It to you.
We Are What We Overcome on this occasion features musician Matt McGuinness, improviser Nick Tyler, and psychotherapist Wes Evans. Sit back, enjoy, and remember, it's good to talk.
Okay, so welcome to another episode of We Are What We Overcome, the podcast. We're live and in person. You've travelled up to my neck of the woods.
You sound somewhat different to me this
Do
this
I?
Month. Yeah.
What is it?
More assured, more traditionally focused within yourself.
Just happier, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, that's our subject for today, which we'll get into a little minute. But we're on location. We try and meet in different places every time, don't we?
Nice.
And so today we are in a little secret bar at the back of Campo Blanco. The bar's called Campito. There's quite a novel entrance on the way in, but we have to keep that a secret, I think.
Yeah, that's probably for legal reasons.
The nature of the entrance, yeah. So we can't tell you about that, otherwise
we'd
have
to. It's kind of why when we walked in, we thought we should have just stayed somewhere close by and spent the evening.
Yes, and drank whiskey. So yeah. I think it's designed with a bit of a speakeasy vibe in mind, actually.
Does work.
Yeah. So what are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about happiness. We realise that it's very easy to cover a lot of depressing sounding mental health topics, and we talked about before that it's easy to focus on like being depressed or being sad or being angry, and yet good mental health is just as important as, you know, bad mental health.
Well, let's be fair, when we brought up happiness, you said, does it actually really exist? So that is the negative side of happiness.
Well, okay. I feel obliged to bring in
The skeptic.
I want to bring in a negative angle to whatever we talk about.
Well, that's an interesting point, because usually when we come up with a topic, we try and think, well, what angle are we taking on this? And specifically, what are we focusing on? But today we've kind of settled on that there isn't necessarily a focus. That
perhaps
maybe we're just going to see where it takes us.
Yeah, I imagine it will lead us to some focused point.
Well, what is happiness and
why
go from there? Yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be our general topic. But before we get into that, we're going to have a little bit of check-in, as we always do, to make sure that we are in a place suitable for recording your podcast.
Make sure we're all happy.
Well, no, so wow, that seems like a high bar. Let's not push ourselves, Wes. Matt, how are you?
I'm good. I was having a long put-off date night with my very much better half, and lots of things seem to get together over the last week to try and stop that happening, like children getting ill and selfish, aren't they? And the van breaking down, and then finally on the day, the car breaking down, but the AA came along and fixed it pretty quick.
Hooray!
There are other providers of that sort of thing out there. They're just not very good.
It's turned out well in the end, then.
Yeah. So yeah, it was good. Yeah. Who's going to go now? How are you?
How
Nick?
Am I? Yeah. I am also pretty good, actually. I'm busy with work. It's been lots of rushing around and stuff, so I am frequently engrossed in activities, which is usually a good state for me to be in, because it leaves me unable to think about other things and free of sort of distractions, which I find generally quite positive. So yeah, I'm all right. What about you, Wes?
Some would say that work is the distraction, though.
Ooh.
Nick.
I don't know. I remember being told at school, work makes you free. That's all I remember.
Who said that?
A very popular teacher.
Don't go there.
No, don't.
I'm pretty good, yeah. You said I'm sounding more assured or something there.
Yeah, I was alluding to something.
Oh, yeah. Well, since we last spoke, I got married. So I'm now Mr. Evans. Feels strange to say that.
What were you before? Yeah. Were you Master Evans? Squire Evans.
Yeah, Squire Evans. Yeah, so I was married, and we also...
Was married.
I was married. Yes, it happened. I became married. Yeah, I still am married.
Good.
I was married by a man in Scotland, and then we came down and had a after party as well. So we milked it for all it was worth, as you should.
And we're going for the third party in Edinburgh, aren't we? In August.
Yeah. Another one of our live meetup recordings. Yeah. So stay tuned for that one.
So that's good. I wouldn't stay tuned. That's quite a long time.
Yeah, well, you'll be waiting quite a while. Yeah. Already, just in this silly little intro round, we've kind of made some parallels to the topic that we're talking about there. About, you know, it turned out well in the end, which might be a good. Imagine if that was what you said at the end of your life. Well, it turned out well in the end.
Yeah, I mean, good enough. I think is what I'm going for. That will be fine.
Work will set you free.
But happiness does feel like it feels different to the other emotions. You know, we're talking about. The idea that you might have someone if they're sad or they're angry, but happy tends to be kind of have a relationship to something else. There's an assumption that there's different aspects of your life that make you happy. Like, are you happy in your work? Are you happy in your home life? Rather than just like happy in general, which always makes me wonder if we've accepted that being just happy is too high a bar. It's too much to do. So you want to like bring it down to one specific part of your life.
I think it feels like the status quo, doesn't it? Because everyone assumes everyone is happy. It's like the starting point, you know, because then if you're not happy, there's something wrong with you. Or do you know what I mean? It feels like that's
a good point. Yeah.
The common denominator.
It should be the default. Yeah. And if it's not, then we have to check why and what's going on.
Well, that's interesting, because I would have thought that being happy was on, you know, if we put emotions on a spectrum, I wouldn't put happy like in the middle, because where are you going after that? You know, happy surely is like the opposite of being very depressed and very anxious, rather than like somewhere in the middle. You know, where do you go from happy? You just go to like ecstatic or hypermanic or something.
So you're thinking about it as like a linear kind of spectrum there. Like
maybe. I mean, I would certainly feel it as being, if not an opposite, then somehow very opposed to all those negative things. I can't think of many like positive emotions. Yeah, there's being happy, there's being...
Are they all just
joyful
versions of being happy?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you're content. Well, what does that mean? Does it just mean you're not miserable? I don't know what it sits in opposition to. Is it a thing that you can achieve?
Well, let's start with that. So why don't we go around and see what everyone thinks happiness is, and what are we talking about when we're thinking about happiness?
I know, I was thinking about this. So Matt asked me in the car, I was like, well, when were you last happy? I'm like, I don't know. I feel like it's something that you think of in retrospect. Where you're like, oh, I was really happy when I was on that holiday.
Does that mean you didn't realise it at the time?
Yeah, for me it feels kind of wedded to some sort of nostalgic sense. Because I'm not sure if I ever stop and go, ooh, I just feel really happy.
That's a shame.
I do it quite a lot.
My God. Well, great. Well, I'm happy for you.
See, at the moment you're happy.
So happy for you. My life
are you happy at the moment?
That sounded loaded with sarcasm. I don't believe that he is actually really happy for you.
I don't know. God, that sounds bleak, doesn't it? To say, like, I don't know if I ever think of myself as being, like, happy in a moment. But I do feel aware of not being... like stressed or anxious sometimes.
Well, there you go. So there's happy moments within the context of feeling lots of other things at the same time.
And then it's not a thing on its own.
Or then there's
it?
A happy period of time generally. Or
yeah, like you imagine a golden age of our lives, which if you go back and investigate, it was actually riddled with nightmares and stress. But you can have like a happy memory of something that wasn't really happy.
I was thinking actually about we talked before about back in time when you're younger and what and stuff, and I think I probably just didn't even think about it. It wasn't whether I was happy or not. I just didn't even bother to contemplate it. It didn't really matter.
Well, maybe the ironic thing is you were probably happier for not thinking about it.
Yeah, because it becomes a goal, doesn't it? It becomes, all I really want is to be happy. Well, I have no idea what that means.
You said something before as well about depression and happiness, and I think I don't really associate the two. Do you know what I mean?
You don't think they're like opposites?
No.
Can you be happy while being depressed?
Yeah, I think so.
Or happy in your depression?
Well, not in the same second, but you can be generally... I mean, I could be happy in a day and there could be points when I'm feeling quite depressed within that.
Yeah, that's a good point. So that's that kind of flitting between things. But then you could also think back to like a happy period of time, could you, do you think, perhaps? And of course, you weren't constantly happy. Yeah.
So I think with the happiness, and I can be depressed, but still think I'm not... You know, I'm not unhappy. It's a different thing to me. Being unhappy is... I think being unhappy, I could focus on there was something I was unhappy about, whereas depression is not.
Well,
like
yes,
that.
I get that.
Well, what? Well, I know. I know. Still struggling to define what happiness is. Well, what's unhappiness then? Because that doesn't sound like the same thing from what you just said.
Is it the absence of happiness? Yeah, didn't you say earlier when you were talking about in the car, you were kind of saying maybe happy is the absence of all of the negative stuff?
Yeah, you know, so if you
that's his high point of positivity there. The glass ain't half full. It didn't go that bad. It's a little over the table, so it must be all right.
What I desire is grim, nihilist, neutral. That's what I'm looking for. That's my version of happy. But I don't know. What would you think, Wes?
I'm happy. Are you really happy? Are you sure?
No, I think you're all lying to me about being happy.
Have you thought about it?
I don't know. I probably just shift into being a little bit too theoretical about it. Just like thinking about, well, what is it then? And I mean, obviously, I speak with lots of people all the time around well-being and different things, and I suppose it's fair to say usually someone would come to speak to me if there's a specific issue that they want to address or something they want to overcome. But I can say I probably have heard many people at different times saying, you know, I just want to be happy. And I think usually they're kind of saying, well, I just want to be all right with what I've got. Or I just want things to be okay. But it's still quite vague, isn't it?
It's quite vague, and feels like that's a really low bar for it. You know,
I kind of does.
I want my life to not suck, which is not an unreasonable goal. You know, that seems like an entirely justifiable thing to go for. But that idea, I want to be happy with what I've got, feels more.
I hear the word content being chucked in alongside it quite a lot.
I like content. Content feels good.
Happy and content. So kind of. I suppose the context in which I've heard it in is, okay, yeah, this is going on, yeah, this is going on, but I wish I wasn't so kind of affected by that and that. What I would like is to be able to appreciate all of these other things that I know are good on paper. Why can't I just be happy and content with it, kind of thing? So it suggests that the barrier is me in response to all of this stuff.
It is you in response to them, because if you had, you could easily see how two people could have the same good things happening in their life.
Yes.
One could think they were happy and the other person would think that.
Exactly. So there's definitely something about my response to the world kind of affecting my happiness. I actually was doing a bit of looking around and thinking about this in anticipation of this topic. And something I found quite interesting that comes up time and time again is these three key theories of happiness. Do you want to hear them?
I do.
So the first one is something called hedonism theory. So basically, a happy person is one whose life has more pleasure than pain. So that's kind of like looking at the overall picture, I suppose, isn't it?
I like that.
If it's mostly good, then you're a happy person.
And that also doesn't imply, because I think the way happiness is used a lot of time implies some kind of like a state to be in of like constant joy or something.
Yeah, and so that as it expands on it, it talks a little bit about that kind of thing as well, about like... That they're in a happy state, you know, and generally they are joyful and that kind of thing. So there's one thing. There's another one called desire theory, which is talking about if your desires are satisfied, you're happy. Yep. So getting what you want, I suppose. So that kind of fits in with maybe people having goals and ambitions and meeting them.
Oh, are billionaires really happy?
Well, there you go. And then the last one is the objective list theory, which is... the person doesn't view happiness based on pleasure versus pain or wanting versus attaining. Instead, it's about things that I find valuable. So it's very individual. So it could be to do with health and wellness. It could be to do with relationships. It could be to do with career accomplishment.
I've got the really good job and now look better than everyone I went to school with. Yeah. Therefore, I'm happy. Oh.
I suppose none of this really touches upon this kind of thing we were just saying there of if I'm happy...
I'm not really happy about things, you know. I've noticed that before, I think, because I've always, as soon as an opportunity arises, I always imagine the nth goal of that working out well. So if it ever does work out well in any sense, I'm already, do you know what I mean? I've always thought.
You've talked about that thing before, if I'm understanding you correctly. Right. I remember you saying that, like, I'm almost happier if I don't put too much stock in things.
Yeah,
if I expect the worst and then it happens, I'm not kind of too crushed by it.
Do you not get, like, the intense delight of, retail therapy. Like you buy a thing that you know you shouldn't really be buying because you don't need it. And just for a moment, you just feel this crescendo of delight. That's, I mean, swiftly replaced by, oh my God, that was 300 quid. I can't return
for
it.
For Lego.
Maybe. I mean, sometimes it's Lego. Sometimes it's other plastic object. Sometimes a book.
That was sorry.
Honestly, there
other
are books.
Plastic objects. I mean, I saw Matt's facial reaction to that. But
other
anyway.
Toys. But then I wouldn't think that was as happiness. I think that was like a brief spark of joy, maybe a longer spark of joy,
substitute.
Yeah.
Why do you think happiness should be over a longer period of time?
I mean, that sounds like a nice thing. Yeah. Happiness doesn't sound to me really like a.
I can imagine you sitting down in your local pub, getting a pint, and whatever day you've had, and you drinking it and thinking, God, that's amazing. And enjoying the whole pint, which would be you being happy for 20, 25 minutes.
Maybe. I think I'd mostly just be hate ignoring everyone else in there.
Every time.
This is definitely his topic, isn't it?
Ideally, I'd be in a room on my own. Yeah. And there's no one else there.
Because you always say this way, lickety, he always wants to turn around and bang his head against the wall.
I am very clumsy.
Whichever way I think about this, I keep coming back to this idea that somehow it's to do with like a state of mind and you having a particular response to whatever it might be out there, you know. So like that scenario you gave there of sitting there and just feeling pretty content with this pint or whatever for it, that suddenly you're just in a happy state, you're in a happy place, but it's fleeting. I guess we move between lots of things. I will say one thing, even though I'm struggling to define it and everything else, I think one thing I have settled on for myself is that this, and it's a bit cliche, but that journey destination thing, I do think there's something to be said for seeing it as a goal. And I do think there seems to be a tendency for people, us, to see that as the optimum thing and not want everything else. And actually that causes more problems.
I think it does.
If you can't, I think we have to be what we are. And so maybe, I think to me that's something about being happy and okay, is that recognizing that I'm going to be different things at different times. Mm. Time and time again, when someone's been able to say, yes, I am upset and I feel the sadness, or yes, I am angry and I feel angry and whatever else, then ironically that's what's needed to get back to feeling okay again, as opposed to not wanting to feel those things because I want to be happy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Feels like a long way of saying it.
No, I think that does make sense. I'm struck by the three definitions that you gave a minute ago, all of which don't describe what I instinctively think of happiness is, which is this thing to be attained. They all seem to describe happiness as being a way to view the things that you do as being positive rather than negative. So, you know, you're
the second two were a little bit attainy, weren't they? Because it was about
But it's still the same. Like, you know, what I want is, I don't know, I want to have a really, really good budgie. That's part of my good life. I want to have a really nice window. You know, but it's getting listening. Yeah, I want to have a job. I want to be able to, I don't know, cycle to work, whatever. But you could make those anything, and if you can retrain your brain to view the activities that you do achieve as being good things rather than just what you have to do to get through this nightmarish suck of a life, then you could regard yourself as happy just by retraining yourself to see the things that you do as being positive things that enhance your life.
I think some of it seems to be like we're talking about as a once you've got it, that's it, you know, and I don't really see it like
happiness.
That. Happiness. You know? Yeah, like getting a great job or something. Yeah. Well, it depends how the job works out, you know.
Yeah.
And so to me, one of the things I find a lot of happiness is planning events and the lead up to that, and we're trying to work out how to do it, and then the actual event itself. But that's quite good, but then it's finite.
That sounds like we talked about post show crash before, haven't we? You know, where you do the show itself. Because I was going to mention, the time when I feel probably most free, and which I think I would describe as happy, is when on stage doing the show. Because it's completely in the moment, not thinking about any other part of life. There's just this thing happening. It's quite silly. Mm. It's enjoyable, but is involving like my entire brain and body in doing. And that's lovely. But yeah, that just ends afterwards.
So it's this state that you're in temporarily.
Mm.
And there is something about letting go of lots of other things, isn't there? Which I think is something, a point to pick up in a little bit.
Yeah, I would ordinarily, I think, just thought of like creative flow, that kind of thing, which I enjoy immensely.
Mm. Maybe we should test this theory out. We should do like some kind of event where we lead up to it.
But I know what that's like. I hate post-show crash. It's horrible.
Well, then we'd suddenly be kind of
making it a doy thing rather than an experiencing thing.
If you want to do that, what you need to do is observe someone in their day-to-day life and then just jab them occasionally and go, were you happy a minute ago? until I jabbed you in the ribs. It's like, well, I don't know. Now
we
could
get
really
some money
angry.
From the lottery commission, couldn't we? Then we could go into those second-hand shops that sell all those signs about happiness and journeys and stuff. And then we could put them all in like a big bonfire on November the 6th or something.
That sounds
a bonfire. Just burn them all.
Yeah, the day after.
I really like fire. That sounds wonderful. Let's do that.
And watch your happiness signs go up in flames.
You know what? That's reminded me of the difference between, you know, all the people at school who I've met in life.
I don't want you to set fire.
Yeah. I'd like to burn them all. It's going to be a really big Wicker Man festival. We're going to lure them all there. I was thinking about all the people that had dreams and ambitions. And a lot of their happiness was tied to nailing that ambition. It's become like a doctor or I don't know what other people's dreams are. That's the best that I can go with.
Yeah. One of those theories was about kind
getting
of
married,
attaining
kids,
things,
all
wasn't
that
it?
Sort
yeah.
of stuff. And that seemed really clear. I've never really had any of those. So I'm not so much that I don't ever want things, but I've never had a plan or a particular desire. It's like, you know, what I'd love to be an astronaut. That stuff's never really popped into my head. So I've never had that, I guess, that measurement thing. What I've got is what I've ended up with through luck and some sort of competencies. And I quite like those things, but maybe because I've never framed them as like what I've wanted most in the whole of my life is doing this particular set of things, then I don't have the measure as like, well, I've got this thing, therefore it makes me happy. Or because I've got this thing, therefore I am happy. I mean, getting the loft done was really good. I mean, that was a horrible thing together.
But I have to say, though, if you were told 10 years ago, where you were 10 years ago, of what you, if you go towards this, you can get what you've got now, you'd describe that as something you'd attain, wouldn't you?
I don't, yeah, but I probably would have just laughed at you and gone, well, those are all unattainable goals.
I know, but you've got them now.
Yeah, no, but not through, but again, not through any like skill set or.
Of course it
or
is.
Insanity. It's mostly
you've
through,
got
it's,
them.
It's dumb luck. But
no, it's not dumb luck. But I do wonder that's the thing. I think that's the angle. It isn't through dumb luck, it's through the fact that you are who you are. And you've attained that through who you are as a person.
I think it's dumb luck for all of us, and other people mistake dumb luck for being their own skill set.
Maybe it's some crazy blend of all sorts of things,
maybe
which is
so.
Where I tend to land. But
all those doctors who just luckily are really good at heart surgery is just amazing.
I think they are. They luckily haven't killed that many people. I could do that. That sounds fine, but I'd get a much lower success rate, but I'd be happy with
a
it.
Lower success
a
rate?
A much lower success but I'd be happy because I'm a doctor. That's great.
Right, well, there you go. So going back to your thing of two people in exactly the same circumstances. Yeah. So one person could maybe have all of the things that they have. We're on a goal list and they've been trying to actively attain them. Yeah. And there's this question of, well, will they just want to attain more and all of that? And another person could have the same and maybe just feel happy, content with what they got. It is a cliche, but this happiness is an inside job thing. I think there's some truth in that. Or there's some. It's about kind of your relationship to everything around you,
and
that's what
counts. I have to stop myself complaining and about what work I've got at the moment, because this is what I wanted. You know, I mean, genuinely, and if again, going back to that example, if someone said this will be you in 3 or 4 years' time, I would be beyond happy about it. You just get stuck in it, don't you? You're thinking, I think you almost sometimes you have to, if you can, if you're lucky enough, to be able to step away from your current situation, look at it and think,
So there are things that we can do to increase our feeling, our state of happiness. And sometimes it's about taking stock and trying to be more appreciative and things like that. If you look at some of the stuff out there, the self-help stuff or the guidance on kind of how we can try and feel more happy and all of that, there's all the practical stuff around kind of managing stresses, blah, 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 setting goals, yada, yada, yada. But there's some of it around appreciation, isn't there, of like, there's even things of starting each day with kind of affirmations, which, or like...
Or coffee.
Does coffee make you happy?
In the morning it does, yeah.
I'm not a coffee drinker, so can't appreciate that one. Mm. Maybe happiness is very individual. Oh, I'm sure it is, actually, but...
Mm. I mean, I think it is individual. It's plainly also a universal concept. Yeah, everyone talks about it, don't we?
It is. It's a universal concept, but probably one which we all define, pursue, and kind of... feel differently.
And, you know, it's probably very negatively affected by other people's impressions of their own happiness. You know, it's why social media gets a lot of kicking for that. Is it, you see all these people like, oh, they look super happy. Well, that's one photograph, and for the rest of the whole day, they were crying. You know, but they
they are not happy.
They stopped out of motorway services and expected little
you
chef.
You should have a show on television.
I should be a motivational speaker.
The greatest time of life. Are you really there?
Hi, I'm going to ruin your day. I don't think anyone
with reality.
Are you sure it's not ruined already?
But we see that, and we don't know the backstory. We don't know if that was true. And because, you know, I see plenty of friends around me are like, oh, I'm on a beach. It looks great. It's like, oh, that does look really cool. And I go, oh, maybe I want to be on a beach. And I remember beaches are quite dull unless you're in the water for a long time. You know, you do those bits, you're like, but it's not like, why would I go to
there's
that?
Sand everywhere.
Well, there's an ad.
It's coarse and irritating.
There's what we expect will make us happy versus the reality of it. I think expectation is definitely a key word in this conversation.
Yes, that's probably true. But our expectations are rarely framed by ourselves, I suspect. Yeah, they're socially defined a lot of the time.
Yeah.
It's whatever.
But it's expectation that leads to disappointment or guilt or frustration and whatever else. I suppose it's not only, but it's I think that's like a Buddhist concept of happiness, isn't it? To be able to let go of all of that stuff.
That's the next grant that we should go for. You sat on a beach and see how long you last.
Oh, God.
Unhappy on a beach.
We could feed him margaritas, couldn't we?
I have questions and conditions. Like, are there rock pools? I'm all right. I like rock pools.
Oh, suddenly there are conditions now. Yeah, look, conditions. Already conditions for happiness.
Right, happiness is conditional.
I'll be happy if.
There's a rock pool there. And is it a good beach for like beachcombing? Can I find random stuff that other people valued mine?
We could leave your stuff there and not tell you about it. It's the same thing.
Yeah, but if I don't find it, then I'll be devastated.
What, and just make it a treasure hunt?
Yeah.
See, there's a reason for being on a beach. That sounds great for a bit. I don't know. You led me there. I feel like I've been tricked by your expectations for me.
But you see, that's the thing about mental health, isn't it? That people look at other people and say, well, they've got the job, the car, the kids, or whatever else. They must be happy, and that's got nothing to do with it. That's pretty much what you were alluding to before.
I think you're probably right. It's easy to define happiness by what other people have without. But I think what Wes was talking about was the need to go, well, I've got all this stuff. Shouldn't I be happy about it? But then if I decide to be happy about it, then does that just make me happy?
Well, I think that's the thing is about should be happy. Well, you're fighting a losing battle there again, aren't you? Because you're doing this comparison thing and
your body shoulda woulda coulda.
I think there's something to be said about this kind of it's about where I land with it that makes the difference. And maybe there is something to be said about this absence of unhelpful stuff. That might not be absence of problems and everything else, but maybe it's the absence of comparison and I don't know, unrealistic expectation or self-criticism or whatever. Maybe that's something that means one person is happier in inverted commas than another.
Maybe so. Because I think when I'm like my most, I guess, peaceful or content, without using the H word.
I was waiting for that.
No, we're avoiding that just in case I accidentally stumble upon it. You know, I like go and sit like in our library and just read a book in an evening with a whiskey or a cup of tea with a lava lamp on and a little side light. And there's nothing else going on.
Well,
and
you gave the example of the show, though, as well. And to me, they're kind of similar in that you were completely in that moment and there was an absence of other stuff that may be unhelpful.
I guess so.
I start to touch upon this kind of things we can do to increase our happiness. So I also looked up something related to that just to see what it makes us think of.
That's a bit dodgy, isn't it?
Well, things
on Google that.
Googling
things I could do to make me happy.
Well, I bet it's something that people Google a lot.
Probably is.
But on this list, I suppose there are things that allude to these different theories of happiness. One of them was about just being in a happy state most of the time. One of them was about getting what we want, and one of them was finding meaning. But some of these habits they say could make you happy. Maybe I'll just rattle off some of them. You know, some of them aren't too surprising, but like there's exercise and lifestyle choice stuff in the mix. But smiling, there you go. So there's kind of saying, you know, if I inhabit kind of a happy place, then maybe I'm more likely to adopt.
I always
it.
Find that people say you can do that, you know, smile more. It has a positive effect on you.
And the same for positive affirmations.
If you're feeling miserable, it's
well, yeah, exactly.
Come on, give us a smile, love.
There's stuff around diet and lifestyle and exercise, but there's stuff about being grateful, which we kind of alluded to a minute ago. So maybe that, maybe it's unhelpful to get completely hung up on what we don't have, and so balancing it out to appreciate what we do have. So maybe that's the theory behind that. Giving a compliment, showing acts of kindness to others.
I think all of that, they just feel like if you're in a place where you're unhappy, I'm not so sure that that
acknowledging works. The unhappy moments, then, what about that one? That's kind of what I was saying there about being okay with where you're at. And ironically, that means that suddenly you're in a better place.
Well, I mean, that provokes contrast for yourself, doesn't it? It provokes that self-comparison. And I guess if you identify, this is really bad, then you're, by comparison, uplifting other parts of your life, possibly even into the realm of contentment, say, or maybe even
it
happiness.
It kind of just gives a frame of reference.
Yeah, it's like, well, that was bloody awful, but yes, yeah. Well, this bloody awful.
Journaling's on here, so maybe that's for that reason, because we can keep a balanced view of the
that
ups and the downs.
I'll give it that.
Connection, seeing friends, decluttering, planning, ditching your phone.
Decluttering, Nick. Try that one.
That's madness, Matt, and that only leads to suffering and pain.
Getting into nature, exploring meditation, considering therapy.
That's a really interesting list of things that might make you happier, because they all sort of sound like things that you would do if you were happy. If you see what I mean. Like if you were happy.
So it's kind of saying inhabit that happy space and you
will
become
happy. I'm going to declutter this house.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah, self-deception. It's the only way to be happy.
There's all the things like taking care of yourself, but there's stuff about letting go of grudges, letting go of certain bits and bobs of things.
It's hard to let go of grudges until the person dies, really, isn't it?
Even then it's tricky.
It's true. Although that means the ultimate win, obviously, for a grudge. Like, I've won now. Yeah, I've outlasted.
You stamp the dirt down under your foot.
Well, yeah.
You two are the wrong people to talk about
surely,
happiness.
Surely there's nothing happier than outliving your enemies.
Killing them in the first place?
Dangerous. We'll talk about that offline.
That's another subject. Where are we landing with this? Well, what are people thinking as we've kind of talked about all these different angles?
Well, I'm really intrigued by that list that suggests to me that happiness is sort of performative, but if you believe in your performance, then you're happy. That's how that list struck me, which might still be very simple.
There's a lot of it suggesting that we can be happy if we just don't do the things or focus on the things related to of unhappiness.
Well,
or whatever,
if you just get it together and recognise that our lives are not too bad, then
we can be happy. Yeah, I suppose in one way or another, yeah. There's a lot about expectation.
That's all the sort of negative side of mental health, isn't it? It's all when people say the same thing within mental health that, you know, you shouldn't be like that.
Well, that's another should and a shouldn't, isn't it? You know, because that's a fast route to minimising stuff, isn't it? Well, I should feel happy because I'm not as bad. My life's not as bad as this, that, or the other. Well, that doesn't sound healthy and kind of.
It's true. It stops you perhaps being in the very darkest place in relationship to that, but it doesn't get you higher up. Yeah, you know, doesn't get you higher up that scale of happiness. You know, so my life is not as bad as someone else's. Doesn't make me happy, but it stops you being less unhappy, perhaps.
I don't know. To me, it's just a way of pointing a finger at myself and saying I'm not feeling how I should feel, and I just don't think that's helpful. I do think there's something to be said that I need to maybe acknowledge all of my feelings. If I can do that, then maybe I'm going to feel generally happier most of the time. I don't know, there's something in that for me.
I like that. I like as always, the idea of trying to be conscious of your own existence and try and notice when you are happy or you're sad and notice your emotions rather than just letting it be a morass that you exist within, because it can be hard to step back from yourself and not necessarily to even find a reason for why you feel the way you feel, but to recognize that you do feel something or feel nothing. Yeah, that's got to be a good thing in general.
I suppose inherent within that, there must be some acknowledgement that I'm not going to be happy all the time then. And maybe being at peace with that means I'm going to be...
I've tried to vocally recognize to my partner and kids and stuff at points when I feel depressed or when I know, in fact, it's nothing to do with anything, it's just that.
Do you do the opposite? Do you vocally recognise when things are feeling particularly good?
People can see.
Need to acknowledge
annoying.
That one. You're annoying when you're happy.
Yeah, like the other morning
that's
when
kids say that a lot.
When Someone's asleep, and Katie got into bed and she was asleep, and I stuck in the Proclaimers song, "Please Don't Turn Out Like Your Mother," and started dancing around the room to it. That's where we're at.
Oh my God, I would want you to be less happy if that's what I live with. Mm.
Apparently that's not a good way to wake up. Who knew?
Oh, that's horrifying.
So there's something in how we understand happiness, that's what it is, that maybe means, well, it will impact our own relationship with it, I suppose, isn't it? So like if I'm going along thinking that this is the way to be happy, then I'm only going to feel happy if this is the case.
That's risky, isn't it? Yep.
Yeah.
And that feels like a high-risk proposition, because whatever it is that you're aiming for could easily...
Well, it's dependent on it then, isn't it?
Yeah, it could easily miss or fail.
Yeah.
But
there's all the things we were talking about where, like, which kind of makes sense. It's like if I'm trying to take care of myself, if I'm trying to have a balanced point of view, if I'm trying to be mindful of lifestyle and stress and appreciation and things like that, then... must mean I'm more likely to feel more positively and better most of the time.
I guess so. I think I've been most struck by they're comparing it with other people. You know, if we see that what makes one person happy is being, I don't know, an astronaut, you're like, well, but I quite like just opening a box of Lego and building stuff. Like, just should I not be happy with that? Is the thing that strikes me most. You know, are my desires and the things that make me happy so small that maybe that's not really happiness at all. It's not enough to be happy.
I'm setting my bar too low.
Yeah, you know, I could build a Meccano set or something. That's much harder. But I wouldn't like that because it's difficult.
The commonality between a few of the things you mentioned, though, was that you were just in that moment and you were letting go of all sorts of other stuff. So there's something to be said for that, surely. And that's different for different people.
It's true. I could be like a billionaire on Twitter just raving madness, but so in the moment that I'm entirely happy with it.
Well, exactly.
Maybe he is.
I don't know whether we're getting anywhere with fully defining this, but we've certainly opened a few interesting threads.
It comes across that it's a completely, well, which is obviously completely, utterly personal matter, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so one man's happiness is another man's... what?
Please finish that sentence. I'm fascinated by where that's
going. I'm wondering where this is going as well.
I think you'd say like crocodile or something.
Yeah, so actually, you know, you could decide that actually for me to feel happy, I want to achieve this, that and the other. Mm. And I suppose it's going to go two ways. You're going to achieve it and feel happy in theory, or you're not, and you're going to be disappointed, frustrated, whatever else. But I could decide actually... my focus is just to wake up every day, be okay, and feel appreciative for what I do have and everything else. And maybe I am happy with that. And maybe some people find happiness in different things. Like, well, I'm sure it's true, you know. No, you finding happiness in religion, or finding happiness in relationship, or whatever.
You see it with all hobbies.
It's just going to be different things.
All hobbies that make no sense to you, because you're like, I don't see what you see in that. But they probably see exactly the same thing that you see in a hobby. But just for a different topic. Oh, I'm really intrigued by it being a plainly universal property that we all talk about.
But
and it has
on
no
the flip
no
side,
useful
very
definition.
Individual. Yeah.
Really unhelpful.
There is something quite striking about that. It's a universal concept, but very individual, isn't it?
And so wildly unhelpful to talk about. You know,
and how different it is, because it's classed as an emotion, I guess, but it's so different from all the other emotions, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't feel... Yeah, the more we talk about it, the less it feels like an emotion.
It's
it feels like
something else.
A description of satisfaction or something, which feels like a really bleakly utilitarian way to say it. A little bit like your first definition, is there more pleasure than pain in your life, which is... like the real...
Well, that's
real
like a good enough thing.
Yeah,
you could read that as just, well, as long as it was good enough, then I'm okay.
Well, that's the heart of the grimace of utilitarian.
But then someone
concepts.
Could have just a...
More than 60-40, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, all right. Yeah. Is that important?
You know, it's to some people.
It's like, well, I can enjoy a lot of small things, but in order to balance that, I can have one really bad thing happen to me. But that's okay, because that still means, in general, that I'm happy.
Well, that's the good enough theory, yeah.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Well, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Like, the good is how I would want it to go. The bad are the blips in the road, but as long as it's not so devastating, I can get back to the good. The ugly is where I just never have a chance of coming back, and the crap is too constant.
You know, I think the final thing that makes you think of is that although all these emotions are kind of internal, they're all affected by the external world, but this one, maybe more than the others, feels like one that if we can grab hold of it, we can change our perspective towards it without reference to the outside world more easily, or it's more accessible than some of the other things.
I don't know, because just about this grabbing hold of it or letting go of it stuff made me think of anger straight away. So I think different people have different relationships with anger, don't they? So you were joking earlier about it, about your enemies and all that kind of stuff, but I suppose there could be things that make people universally angry, or you would expect people get angry about it, but someone might be able to put it down and move on, and someone might not be able to.
Mm. Yeah, maybe that is a normal thing. Mm.
Maybe, have we done one about anger?
We should do, shouldn't we?
If we haven't, we definitely should, or we should revisit it with new eyes.
I don't mean to be rude, but I reckon we've probably got it in us to do a really good episode. Yeah.
Have we not done Pointless Incandescent Rage yet? Seems baffling.
It's a good title.
you can't do anything with this but feel hatred. Yeah.
So where have we actually landed with this then? I suppose it's time for closing thoughts.
Do you know what? I don't know whether it is ironic or whether it's just not, but three of us seem to be in probably the happiest places individually together. I mean, you know, we haven't done for a while. We all seem fairly... So that's of me assuming it from the outside. We all seem fairly okay, or more than okay.
I suspect I'm bad at recognising what happiness counts as for me, because at the moment I'm enormously entertained, which is probably, by any reasonable definition, being quite happy. Mm. I wonder if I just don't have good definitions of what that means for me.
Maybe there are just lots of little things that feed into this state of happiness.
Mm. Yep. Yeah.
Whereas if I'm pissed off, I'm pissed off, aren't I? Am I?
Oof. Mostly just sultry and simmering, aren't you?
I think we could definitely do an experiment on you, though.
No,
it'd be great.
It would be interesting to do that, but it would also be interesting to just go around and do a survey and ask loads of people what they think happiness is.
We could have Nick in a room, and then we could find out 10 things, which could be things or people or occasions that would make him feel happy. And one after the next, like a beer, and then some famous person who comes and says, Nick, you're lovely, and then just carry it on for like an hour and see where we get with that. That'd be brilliant.
I find it so hard to imagine that with me being happy.
That's really the goal.
Stop being nice to me.
I think I've ended up feeling quite happy.
Today?
Mm. Wow.
Do you know why? Because if you can figure that out, maybe we've corrected it, at least for you.
Well, I think it aligns with other things to talk about. It's about being focused on the thing that we're doing and being amused by it.
Or if we could just get out of our own way.
Yeah.
Maybe we can be happy.
Maybe it's just mine, your presence, Wes.
Maybe it is.
Just you, Wes.
Maybe just me.
Just you. It's not Matt.
No, okay.
Matt plays music loud in the morning. So
when you get back in the van and drive off from here, it'll this silence is going to slip away.
Just
is
silence.
Oh, no.
I hope so.
Why? Is he annoying when he's happy?
Not as much.
I don't know. Particularly giddy and
I've never experienced it, so.
It's a shock. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel fairly silly, which is nice.
Let's see if we can settle on a definition each then to finish off.
Oh, we should say it together and see if they're the same.
That's what I was going to say.
So I think happiness is mostly a matter of deciding whether or not the things that you enjoy are enough to make you happy.
I think happiness for me in a moment is not worrying about all those things that are in your head that you should or shouldn't do or that are bugging you, and doing something that you really do at the time without that distraction.
I'm still struggling, but I think it's probably some lovely blend of letting go of unhelpful stuff, appreciating what is, being in the moment, and probably some combination of this connection, enjoyment, kind of satisfaction vibe. I don't know. I'm just, I don't have a definition, basically.
I'm happy to just generate definitions for a while.
Yeah. All right. This is right up your alley.
Oh, I'd like defining
it. I think the thing that it's a universal concept but is very individual kind of rings true, doesn't it?
Mm.
And maybe it could be different things at different times.
It does. Mm. God, why isn't there just one way of being happy? Wouldn't that be easier for everyone?
Straightforward.
Yeah.
Boring.
Oh, maybe.
We should say before we go that the next episode is going to be online, isn't it?
Yep.
And then the one after that is going to be the Edinburgh Festival Fringe Special.
That's
live.
That's right, yeah.
In Edinburgh, obviously.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. I look forward to that. Yep, that'll be
great.
Make sure
we go there.
Okay, well, all until right, next time then.
Yeah.
Take care of yourselves and each other.
Jerry.
Whose end are you snorting into the microphone? Exhausted
with some grief. If you've been affected by anything that we've talked about tonight, that's cool. We were kind of hoping you would be. If you haven't been affected by anything tonight, then that's great too. You're probably fine. Of course, if you say you're fine, there's a good chance you aren't. So you might also have been affected. And if you've been affected before, you probably will be again. Please talk to someone. It can get better, and together we can survive. We are what we overcome. And this poor little boy, grounded by the sun, paler by his side, but something strikes.